All right, I'm going to keep this simple.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Stassi. I'm Stassi Schroeder-Clark.
Let's do this. Okay.
I didn't press record this week on an episode, and I missed it.
Oh, no. That's one of my worst fears. It's happened like twice in my life over the last 8 years, and there's no worse feeling. What did you end up doing? You just had to redo it.
Yeah, I sat with it for a day. I was like, maybe it will show up on my computer. Like, maybe it's just not there yet. And then I emailed the guest the next day and was like, I am so sorry.
It was with a guest.
It was with a guest. I know. I felt so bad. And so I asked her if she wants to re-record. I think we will, but we have to wait a little bit. Honestly, for me, I think the conversation will be better because I will have better questions having talked to her.
Yeah.
But I felt like such a loser.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Honestly, I think it's just like a rite of passage as a podcaster to at some point majorly fuck up and just forget to press record.
I know. I think it's happened to me more than two times, but I'm like, I have my audio, just not yours.
Well, Whitney, I'm so happy to have you here. I want to tell a little like small story real fast, because I've been thinking about you a lot lately. Since I keep seeing that you're in the news. Like, I see you on Daily Mail. I see, like, you know, things pop up. And, you know, we went to an influencer dinner back in April. And I think I want people to know this. Influencer dinners are scary as fuck. And, or at least for me. And a lot of the people, it's not their fault. I might come off like this too. Like, we get shy, or we're just like not that friendly or talkative because we just don't know where we stand in terms of like this fucking influencer dinner. And I was so relieved to be sitting across from you, because like though we didn't get to spend like the whole time talking, the little bits that we did get to talk, like, you made me feel so comfortable. Aww. Like, you're one of the like the nice ones, the friendly ones, the ones that like if I were to go to another event or dinner, I'm like, oh fuck, thank God Whitney's here. And I think everyone should know that about you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I feel the same way as you. Like, I get really, really intimidated.
I wanted to ask if you did, because Whitney, you go to like events and influencer dinners and you have things like that scheduled all the time. You do it all the time, that I would think you would just be like a full blown pro at it by now.
Okay. So I'm like comfortable going. I usually want to go alone. I'm fine with that. I like not having to, I don't know, pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And like, I like a little bit of a solo mission, especially since I'm just like always with my husband or my kid. Like, I'd like a little solo mission and seeing if I can do something on my own. And then I think though, as I've gotten older, I've just realized that, like, just like you said, everybody feels that way. Like, no matter how big of an influencer you are, you know, it's like everybody feels that way. And we've all had these kind of interactions online. And then you're like, wait, do you think that they'll remember that we DM'd a year ago? And you're like, who even cares? And yes, probably they will. And they know who you are. You know what I mean? It's just like, whatever you're thinking, they're probably thinking too. So you just have to keep telling yourself that.
That makes me feel so much better, because the anxiety, it's like not just while I'm there, and it's not just ahead of time. Like, obviously it's like I build up to it all day long, and I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? I feel like I'm going to vomit. Then I get there and I'm so awkward that I'm like, what kind of questions do I ask?
You're probably not. You're definitely in your own head.
Well, I know I'm in my head because I'm overthinking all of it. But then it's like, after I leave, I think back on every single thing that I said to each person. I'm like, was I a little too eager with this person? Was I not eager enough? Should I just have admitted, like, I've been following your fashion for 12 years? Like, should I have pretended? I never know what to do.
I think the best thing to do is to just be you and just be honest. Like, that's what I have started to do now. Like, I went to this dinner last week. I was just talking about this on a podcast. It was a Women of Reality dinner variety.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
I walked in there and I felt that same way. Like, oh my God, I know who every single one of these people are, but like, am I going to go say anything or whatever? And I decided just to do it. Like, I went up to the people from Selling Sunset and I was like, oh my God, I love you guys. Like, should I get my real estate license too? And I just like went for it, and they responded. Like, I think it was so much better that way than if you pretend to be cool.
Yes.
You know, I think you just have to be unapologetically you.
Yes. Well, I've learned that if I'm a fan of someone, I say it.
Yeah,
like I say it, and I'm just like, I can't not, because I think that if the tables were turned and someone said that to me, then I would be
die.
Like, yes. And I'd be so excited. I'd be like, oh, thank you for not making me feel like a full blown imposter right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know what it feels like when people say it to you. So just yeah. Rip the Band-Aid off.
Do you come across some assholes? I'm not asking you to name names or anything, but do you come across some assholes at these events and dinners? Because I'll tell you, I have at like Fashion Week things.
Really?
Like, I don't ever want to go back to New York Fashion Week.
Stop.
Because I feel like such a loser.
Honestly, I feel like a loser too, but more because I totally get it. It's so funny. We have a lot of similarities because we've come from reality TV,
yes,
but we love fashion.
Yes.
And it's hard. I think that the era of reality TV that we were on, fashion and the kind of shows, like, fashion wasn't necessarily like taken as seriously. And so it's hard to get outside of that. So for Fashion Week, it's like, we want to go to all these shows and it's a lot of no's. Like, I get so excited when even someone wants me to come to to a fashion show, you know what I mean? But I'm just like, whatever, I'm still going to go. I'm going to show up. And like, it's taken some time, but I also feel like if it doesn't feel good to you, then don't do it.
I want
what
it to feel
asshole,
good to me,
though. Like, someone was mean to you, or like,
this is my experience. It's like, you know, the way that nowadays I feel like some celebrities will talk about TikTokers as in like, oh, the TikTokers are there and ruining everything, which I don't agree with. Like, I don't agree with that at all.
Agreed.
But that's how I felt about fashion influencers saying, oh, this reality girl is here. So like, people didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to be like having my photo, like their photo taken with me, and like just experiences like that,
which I mean,
I get, you know, like a little bit, I guess, reality TV, because it's like kind of cheap. Easy, you know, but also fashion's not that serious.
No, it's not.
Fashion is for everyone.
It's not. And I'm completely of the mindset that like, if you love fashion, like, you should be able to experience it, right? And I'm all, even like for the shows, sometimes when I can't remember what brand it was, but they said no and I really wanted to go, and I was like, I don't even need to sit front row. Like, I'm not even asking to like go backstage or sit front row. Like, I'll sit with the press. I just want to come like see the show, like just see it in person. And it's still a no, but it's, people in fashion are still bratty. Like, it just,
I know,
they still are, and they need to get whatever it is out of their ass, because like, it's we're not allowed to act that way anymore. You know,
I mean?
Like, we're women. We're supposed to be supporting each other no matter what industry we're in. And I have a lot of imposter syndrome situations because of being on the reality show, which I'm sure you do too, you know?
Yes.
But then you just gotta like find your lane. Like, I overthink so much about what I post. Like, is it gonna be cheesy? I'm trying to be cool fashion girl.
And you're like, never cheesy, let me just tell you.
Oh my God. But
then you are
like,
never
but
cheesy.
Then I won't post. And then Timmy's like, stop overthinking it. Like, you can be cheesy reality girl and like cool fashion girl. Doesn't have to be all, you don't, it's not one thing, you know, we're not just one thing.
Well, actually, no. And you're so right, because I find that like the people I'm most excited to follow are the ones that are giving me the most well-rounded content.
Right.
Like
I
when
don't
it's
want just your fashion, like I don't want to yeah. know just like how to style a look. Like I also want to know what reality TV you're watching.
Totally. Yeah. Also, side note, the fact that you just said you were like, I wanted to go to this fashion show and I was willing, like, I don't need to sit front row. I will never forget when I met Kelly Catrone. I love her, first of all, but like yeah. you guys have the biggest history ever. Yeah. She was like, if there's one piece of advice that I can give you as you're like starting out in your reality career, like, you know, trying to like, you know, go to fashion shows, she goes, never accept an invitation unless it's front row.
I know.
And it scared the shit out of me. So now like it stayed with me forever. So now really, like, even if I were to like want die to see a certain show, she scarred me.
I know. She scarred me. She's thinking about, because everybody else that's at the show will see you there not sitting front row
yeah.
and will judge. And that's this whole idea, this narrative around the press of fashion shows that I just like cannot get behind.
Well, I'm surprised that like that you actually still feel a little bit of that imposter syndrome in the fashion industry, because your shows, The Hills and The City, were so fashion centric. And mm-hmm. and to me, that gave you, I feel like you have so much credibility in terms of the fashion industry that I'm like shocked that you would actually feel that way. Like I was on Vanderpump Rules. We worked at Sir, you know?
I know. I mean, I think that I feel like I wish I had taken more advantage of the opportunities, and especially the fashion opportunities when I was on the show. But I think that because of the time when I was on it, reality still just wasn't taken seriously. So it didn't matter that it was like a fashion-based reality show. I was still on a reality show with, you know, other people that didn't have the greatest fashion, or, you know what I mean? Like, wait,
shout out to Heidi Montag. No, I love Heidi. I think she's so nice.
I love her.
I think she's so nice.
She is so nice.
Yes.
And she will give great advice. She's like a real girl. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions about her. Not necessarily the best style.
No,
sorry.
She's just not like, she's not trying to be high fashion.
No.
Like her style is her style. But when you're trying to be taken seriously in the fashion industry, and then you're on a show with somebody who like their style, they're not trying to do that. Yeah. That affects
exactly.
it. Totally.
And I think that like now reality TV is just different, where it's the Kardashians can be on a reality TV show and they can be on like the cover of Vogue, you know, like people are blurring those lines more. It wasn't like that. Like when we were on TV,
you
we
were on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Yes, that was one time. But I'm like, I was on the cover of, you know, there were Us Weeklies and maybe one when I did the City of Cosmopolitan. But like it's still so hard to break into like what we would consider like the serious fashion industry. And it's interesting, you know?
No, totally. Well, I honestly, Whitney, from the outside, you're a fashion girly.
Thank
like
you
have to me, like, and I think to the rest of us, to everybody who follows you and watches you, there is no cheese.
Okay,
associated with you. Everything you post, everything you put together. You know what I think also? You know, like the new aesthetic, like the whole like trend of like what Gen Z has laid out for us in terms of like what's trendy and cool. I kind of feel like you started it, because you were wearing like socks over your leggings and all that shit. Like whatever, like is popular now. You've been doing that for so long that I feel like you started it.
Oh my God. There are so many trends that I think I invented that I haven't gotten credit for, but I appreciate you saying that. And I literally would never say that to anyone.
Wait, no. Like what made you start putting your socks over your leggings without knowing it was going to be cool?
Because I hate ankle showing. It was a comfort thing. It
really?
Was like, I hate ankle showing, and I liked the silhouette. Like, I liked the shape of the leg with the sock on it. Like, I think it just looked cooler. I hate no-show socks. Like, I hate those socks where you can't see them, and I don't wear a ped. Like, I refuse to wear a ped. Sorry, I have all
what,
these
what
snaps
is
in my
what's
crotch.
What's a ped? What's a ped?
A ped is a ped. I'm like, a ped is a ped. A ped is, like, you know, those socks that they like stop right here, you know.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Just like the short socks. So I think for me, it was a comfort thing. It was less of a trend thing. And that's what I always, I dress for comfort and I dress for like what my aesthetic, it's like my weird artsy aesthetic mixed with comfort.
Okay. So I think that you just were there first. And then after COVID, it's like Gen Z like just like grew up and they all wanted to be comfortable, but still be chic. So they just adopted your style. Real talk though, I still love a no-show sock. And I know it's so millennial. And I know, like, I see all these reels and TikToks of people being like, this is how you can spot the Gen Z from a millennial. Like, they can have the same exact outfit on, but if one of them has no-show socks, you know that one's a millennial. I have to force myself every day to not wear no-show socks. Like, I'll open my sock drawer and they're just like calling out for me. They're singing songs. They want
Throw
me
them,
to
just
take them.
Give them all away.
No, I can't do it.
But also, I'm also a very big proponent of like, if that works for you and if that's what you feel most comfortable in, then like stick to it. You know, I don't think that people should be sacrificing comfort for trends. I really don't.
I see what you're saying and I agree with you. But I still want to roll with the times and modernize.
Evolve.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I don't want to be stuck in 2016. You know what I mean? Like, that's where, like, I feel like I can easily get stuck in. Like, 2016, 2017, I still look back at those years and I'm like, no, wait, like, I'd wear that right now. And then I'm like,
those
fuck.
Are the years for you.
Yes. Do you feel like you have a year where you're like, oh, I could easily accidentally just slip back right into that?
Yes, all the time. It's like my first year of doing the Hills. I look at some of those looks. I was like so into vintage dresses with, it was like vintage dresses or vintage blouses with low rise jeans. And yeah. I feel like there's so much of me that immediately wants to wear that. Like, all I want to wear right now is like vintage slip dresses with like a blazer over it.
Okay, but that is like what's chic and cool right now.
Yeah, I feel like we can make, like, you can make 2016, 2017 version of yourself cool again. Like, what were you wearing in 2016 and 2017? Like, what's the vibe there that you love so much?
Okay, well, like, my main thing was monochromatic everything. Like, okay. I fully matched I was like, I want to look.
I see you wearing like a crimson coat, crimson dress,
sweater, crimson pants,
shoes, crimson beanie, or like
whole thing. Everything had to be monochromatic because I thought it made me look like old chic. Money. I was like,
sophisticated.
If I can afford to buy this, all of this in the same color, even though this is from Forever 21, it just makes me look like I'm worth so much more than I am. Like, that was my mentality.
Like, you bought everything is new because it all goes perfectly together.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
I totally get that. I think dressing monochromatically, though, like, is a very chic, classic way to always dress. I don't think that really can go out of style.
But now I see all of these, like, how to look effortlessly cool. And they're like, just add in an extra color. You know, and I'm like, wait, what? What happened to the monochromatic vibe? Like, shit. Oh, no. So now I need to break it up. It's like, you know, the whole unexpected shoe thing. What? Oh,
yeah. I know. The unexpected shoe. And then you're like, but what kind of unexpected shoe? Is it a square-toed loafer? Is it a kitten heel? Is it a chunky boot? Like, people need a little bit more.
Is it a snow boot? Is it fins?
Direction. Yeah. The unexpected is not enough detail for someone that doesn't know.
100%. Like, when it's 100 degrees outside, should I be wearing my snow boot? Like, that's unexpected as fuck.
That's true. Like,
you know, I need a little more assistance here. I've always been somebody who's really rough with my skin, with my hair, with everything. I've tried to learn to be gentle, like one of those people. It's like you use like your what's that finger called? Your ring finger to like wipe your moisturizer on to like rub it in. No, that's never been me. It's never been me. So when it came to exfoliating, I always assumed the rougher, the better. It's only been in the last like couple of years that I've realized that no, you're like, skin exfoliant, especially on your face, should be gentle. So I want to talk about Dermalogica. I mean, obviously this brand, like it's the, one of the number one skincare brands in the world. It's been around since 1986. It's a staple in skincare society. Okay. Like if it was a society girl, like she'd be at the top of the ladder. That's Dermalogica. But that's not my point, okay? I want to talk about the microfoliant, the daily microfoliant, because you can use this daily. I started using this a while ago, and it's a rice-based powder exfoliant, okay? So instead of like these harsh exfoliants, it's very gentle. It's just activated with water, so it removes like all the debris, so you just get like smoother skin. So by doing it daily and having this gentle exfoliant, it's so much better on your skin than once a week doing this like crazy exfoliant experience thing. And I only learned that, I feel like, within the last couple of years. And especially since I have really sensitive skin, this is the perfect thing for people with sensitive skin. It improves skin smoothness, it reduces blackheads, it brightens skin, it minimizes the look of dark spots. I feel like we were all taught to just like hardcore exfoliate your face like once a week or once a month. Like, no, really, we should gently be doing this every single day. Visit Dermalogica.com for more information and a free gift with a $20 plus purchase at checkout. So visit Dermalogica.com for more information and get a free gift with a $20 plus purchase at checkout. Okay, I know I'm married. And I know that a lot of you are married or in a relationship, but there are a lot of you out there who are not. When I do my Pour It Out episodes, I feel like I get so many questions from the single girlies and guys out there asking for relationship advice. And so I'm here to say, okay, 2024, it's time to revamp your dating life. It's time to give your dating life another shot. I'm talking about Hinge, okay? I have so many of my single friends who are like, okay, you know what? I went a couple years without going on a dating app. Now it's time. Or they like close their dating app because they just didn't feel like it. I don't know. Something about COVID just made people just like all of a sudden become jaded or stop. We're about to have a new year. It's time to renew, refresh, rewrite your Hinge profile. Can I just say that when you make a Hinge profile, like writing the things you want to put about yourself can actually be really fun and freeing. Like if you just really go for it and you don't give a hoot about what's on there, like why don't you just like make a list of all the things you love? I did that once. I literally made a list on my profile back when I was single. I was like, I love gold, ghosts, haunted houses, fashion, Neiman Marcus, monochromatic outfits, ranch dressing, pizza, Prosecco, Aperol spritzes, murder, truly. And it was just so freeing because I was like putting myself out there and actually just being me. You can do that with your Hinge profile. So manifest the dating experience you want this year. Manifest, you guys. Download Hinge and find someone worth deleting the app for. When Hartford got to like the age where I realized, okay, I should probably be giving this child vitamins, I had no idea where to turn. Like quite literally no idea. I mean, I didn't know, but I've been out of the vitamin game for kids for a really long time. And what I know of children's vitamins, I feel like everything is basically just like candy in disguise. Like there's sugar, unhealthy chemicals, all of that stuff. Then I was introduced to Hiya, okay? So I decided to try it, and I really love that. The first time you order it, you get this cool bottle with your first order, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. So it's really easy. But once I tried it and I gave it to Hartford,
Hartford loved it so much. I had so many people recommending it to me that like once I did my research, I'm like, oh, okay, this is the good stuff. These aren't filled with sugar. It has everything that you need, all of the 15 essential vitamins that you need and minerals like vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, everything to help your kids with immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, all of that. But on top of that, Hartford loves them. So she runs around the house and she always is asking for vitamine, because that's what Bo calls them. That's what vitamins are in Italian. So she is obsessed with Hiya vitamins. And right now we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. So to claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/Stassi. This deal is not available on their regular website. So go to HiyaHealth.com/Stassi and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Do you plan out your outfits in advance? Like for your events and things? I mean, I know this is obviously your podcast, but like, will you plan it out in advance and be super organized, or are you like getting ready right before putting it all together?
It's more like 2 weeks ahead of time. It's like 2 weeks ahead of time. I will put things together because my worst fear, and I'll have options, because I have to feel the vibe. Do you know what I mean? Like I have to feel good about myself. I have to feel comfortable. So I have to have more than one option. Uh-huh. My worst fear is that like I would wake up that day and all of a sudden, like the one thing that I planned, I just feel very uncomfortable. So I have to organize
in advance.
Even with like when I was filming Vanderpump Rules, I would bag a lot of options. Now, would I wear them? No, but I would pull. I had the intention of it,
and you would
but then
style
I would
out looks. And
yes,
then you, yes.
But then I would never actually like take the bag and put it on. I'd be like, wait, actually, no. I just want to take these pants from this bag, and I'm not feeling this. So, I tried to plan just in case, but it never really. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wish I was more of a planner. No, I'm like trying to be more of a planner so I can like be less scattered. But even tomorrow I'm going to Miami, and for the past 3 days I've been telling myself like pack, like put your looks together, get organized, like then you can shoot pretty content of the packing and you'll feel yeah. good. And I just like can't. There's like something in my brain that just stops me every time I try to get organized. It's like, no, you don't know, maybe you are, you know, like I don't know. I'll just like I have to think about what I'm wearing right before I'm going to the thing. Like I can't think about it too much. It's almost like I need to make a last minute decision. I hate it. I hate it about myself, but
then you
it's
overpack.
How I work.
But then
I
you overpack so
like
much.
Crazy. I'm the worst. My bag is always overweight. Like it's one of the most annoying things about myself that like there's just always stuff around. I'm always disorganized. I'm not planning in advance. Like, and I have the best of intentions. Like even I have folders, saved folders of outfits like that I want to kind of create.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have the best of intentions to be organized, but then I'll like have a free time. And instead of organizing the looks or packing, like I decide to watch Paris in Love. Like I just cannot make organizing a priority. Just
okay.
Can't.
I see. See, I find it very enjoyable to plan ahead and pack. And like, I'll try on my outfits, take an OOTD photo so that I have the reference. Like I know when I get there, like on a trip, I will say this, it makes trips so much easier. If anyone's planning a long ass trip out there and they don't know how to pack, if you just put your outfits together, take your OOTDs, and then you have a little folder in your phone, you're like, I can wear that. It really is helpful. So helpful.
Do you style the looks with accessories too in advance, or you just then we'll pack like a bunch of
bags, accessories
bags and shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Bags, shoes, jewelry, and then just like whatever I'm feeling
right.
Then just to like brighten up that outfit. Right. I'm surprised actually. You seem like you're a type A person that like would like organizing.
People have told me that I seem like that, but I'm so the opposite of type A. Like
you do so much.
I have some sort of weird scattered version of organization in my brain. Like I feel like I'm a functioning scatterbrain, you know?
Okay.
Like, yeah. I make it work, but I feel like I always could be better. And I always feel like then the outfits could be better too. Like, perfect example was my variety look last week.
You looked amazing.
Oh my God. So I felt horrible. And I tried that dress on. It was like a last resort dress because I was going to wear this red one that was amazing. And I should have worn the red one, but I didn't want to be overdressed. Like, I was thinking about everyone's going to be so dolled up. Like, let's just go classic. So last minute, I decided to go with the black. I just hated my hair and I didn't like my makeup and I didn't like the dress. And I was like, Whitney, if anything, this should be the time, like, get
to
organized.
Do it up.
You should do it up, but also like get organized. Like you get to do all these fun, exciting things. Like, don't ruin them by not being organized.
Don't you hate when you like you go to an event and get your photo taken and you end up not liking your hair, makeup, or outfit? But it will live forever,
and it will be pulled. You can do.
It'll be pulled for articles. It'll
forever.
Be pulled for, and you have to look back on it and be like, why the fuck did I not put in the effort to change? Like, this is literally, it's shaping the way people see me for the rest of my life. I will never forget this. I decided to try for BravoCon that one, like, one year I went. I decided to try under eye false eyelashes, like a twiggy look.
Stop.
No, like, Whitney.
And it will haunt you forever.
The way that photo is pulled for, like, anything,
everything.
And every time someone wants to write something about me,
it's that
fucking photo. And I will never try something new ever again. Ever again. No.
I'm not
absolutely
in those
not.
Moments. I mean, there's like time and a place for it, but I have the same thing. Like, we have to remember too, red carpet moments. We were in a different time. You know, maybe that was on trend. So we can't be too hard on ourselves, but there have been hundreds of red carpet moments where I'm like, what, were you just like so stoned? Like, what was wrong with you that you thought that was like wearing beanies on a red carpet? Like, so crazy. One where I'm wearing like blue eyeshadow and then a red dress with black polka dots and ringlets. Like, I look
ringlets.
Like a ladybug, but like from the 80s. It was so crazy.
No, the way ringlets are like my biggest pet peeve, unless they're natural ringlets. Like, unless you're someone who's blessed with natural ringlets, I'm talking about styled
ringlets are unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. It scares me. I was literally watching a Hallmark Christmas movie last night. And I'm like, who decided to give her fucking ringlets? Who decided to give her styled ringlets? What year are we in right now? This is a new Christmas movie. I won't forgive the hair person on that movie.
You're watching a Hallmark movie though.
Oh yeah, it makes me feel so good.
You love Hallmark movies.
Oh my gosh, during
I
this
feel like that's so
during
your
the
vibe.
Season. Yes,
we live just down the street from a major Hallmark star.
Really?
You know him. Yeah.
are we gonna give names? I don't know if I could.
I don't even know if you would know his name. Do you know like Andrew Walker?
I don't know names. You're right.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think I know names.
I'll have to show you his face.
Yeah, but if I saw his face, I'd be like, oh yeah, he's in like Prince Christmas or a fucking exactly. Royal Christmas or like wait, is he?
Wait, he definitely is.
Which do you know which movie he's
okay,
in?
Okay, let's find him for you.
Yeah, you have to.
He's such a character too.
Wait, you don't watch Hallmark holiday movies?
No, I'm not a Hallmark person.
So you just don't like joy. Is that what it is?
I freaking love joy. I just hold. I don't know if you're going to be able to see him. Andrew Walker.
Here,
let me familiar to you.
I'm looking it up on mine. This will make it a lot. So you said it's Alex Walker. Sorry.
Andrew Walker.
Andrew.
He's going to love that we're talking about
Walker. Andrew Walker. Oh, I've seen him in things.
Yeah, I can set it up.
Oh, yeah. He's done it all. He's done it all.
He's
a bride.
Done it all.
A bride for Christmas. Snowden Christmas. Christmas Island.
Exactly.
Three wise men and a baby. He's done it all.
Three wise men and a baby.
No, literally, that's one
hilarious.
Of them is called.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so but back to red carpet fashion, just like
yes.
haunting us. You know what? I thought of another trend that you started.
Which one?
As you were talking, your wedding hairdo.
Oh my God. The deep part, and the slick back, the low bun.
I'm talking about the bun that stuck out in the back. Like you had the pieces of the bun coming out underneath. And that became a huge thing last year that I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, it's so random.
I remember Not Skinny But Not Fat posted it, Amanda Hirsch, and it was like when the messy bun with the thing come out was, and she posted my wedding look and was like, shout out to Whitney. And yep. I was like, thank you.
You did it first.
Okay. So I appreciate that.
Does that mean that you can predict trends? How do you make me ahead of the trend? Because I feel like whatever you think is going to be trendy comes true. So what are you into now? Because that's going to become popular next year.
Oh my God. So right now I'm into like completely slicking my hair back. Also because my hair is in a terrible phase at the moment. I want mm-hmm. your hair, by the way. I need to know who's doing your hair because...
Well, my hairstylist, Bradley, is the fucking best ever. Like, he does this whole natural color that I'm just so...
So good. Yes. So I did like a crazy... I did a bleach and tone like in whatever in the spring. And then I was like, oh my God, who am I? And so I went back brown and now my hair is so frazzled. So like, I'm trying to make the slick back bun a look.
Mm-hmm. So this is the thing. I love a slick back bun on everyone else and I like it on myself when I feel like I'm at my best. But I'm so postpartum-y right now that I'm like, oh no, I need to distract
people with my hair. You want the hair. I get it.
Yes, I need to distract.
I totally understand. I at 6 months postpartum with Sunny, I decided to chop my hair up to here. Because I thought I was going to be like chic, cool mom. And it was like total
no,
opposite.
Then it's just, it no, like, then it's just like literal more, mom.
It was literal mom.
It was actual
with
mom.
Huge boobs. And it was the worst decision I ever made. I try out stuff with my hair, but then I'll see people like you and I'm like, why do I just not let my hair grow out natural and healthy and shiny?
Listen, I am so tempted to chop it all off. I know what's trendy right now. I know the short hair is in. I hear that long hair is chuggy. I've heard it, okay? But I can't risk looking like an actual mom if I just cut my hair off. No. I gotta keep it. I don't care how chuggy it is. I gotta keep it.
Are you exhausted, by the way? Are you okay? Is he sleeping through the night yet?
Funny you should say that because he was. And then we all got sick last week and that set us back. And so we are having to re-sleep train him.
Oh my God.
But he has slept through the night the past two nights.
Amazing.
So
there's hope. Yeah. If you do it once, then you know that they can do it.
Yes. He can do it. He's capable. He just needs to not fuck with me. You know, like he knows what he's doing. It's like he has FOMO or something.
Yeah, he wants to hang out with you.
Like truly. But no, I feel really good. Thank you for asking. I feel like after I just got into the 3 month mark and that
feels a lot better.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Way more energy.
Yeah. 6 months was really, I think, when I started to, I mean, it was because I stopped breastfeeding at 6 months or mm-hmm. more pumping at 6 months. And then I feel like a year was when I really was like, okay, now I feel like I have my body back and I have my brain back. Yeah.
I totally agree. Like I remember the first time I actually felt like a hot person again. Yeah. And that was the month of October, which means it was 9 months or no, 10 months, 10 months postpartum because I had Hartford in January. So I'm like waiting for that moment where like I wake up, I'm like, I am a hot person. Yeah. Like, you know,
I look good.
But it took fully a year for things to actually be like, oh, I don't even, it's not like I feel really like pretty and good about myself, but I still am postpartum. It was a year until I felt like, oh, I'm back to my normal self.
Yeah. 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 And like, it's still, there's still changes. There's like still things that will never go back to normal. And I'm sure for mm-hmm. you after having two, probably more changes, but mm-hmm. I think it's all about like having grace with yourself and not forcing or like rushing the bounce back, you know?
I think it's just so hard when there's so many eyes on you.
I know.
You know, like when I see like
on Daily Mail of photos of me taking my daughter to her dance class. And I was like only a month postpartum. And I'm like, that's why I'm putting the pressure on myself. Uh-huh. Because people are taking, there could be a photo that's out there where I look like shit. I know. It was so nice to be able to like be pregnant during COVID now that I think about it, because I could hide. Totally. Like I could hide.
And there was no judgment about your body. There was no conversation. Not even if the people are, whether they're saying nice things or bad things, it's just the fact that the photos are out there and that there's a conversation being had without you.
Yes.
Where you're not sure what people are saying. Do they think I look good? Do they think I've lost weight? Do they think I haven't lost any? It's just like, being preoccupied with those questions is exhausting, you know?
Don't you think it's so crazy how, like, the world is obsessed with, and I'm part of the problem too. The world is obsessed with like pregnant women's bodies and postpartum women's bodies. And I say I'm part of the problem also, because I'm still looking at those photos and I'm still curious and I mm-hmm. still like to see like, oh wow, she bounced back so fast. Like, holy shit, Emily Ratajkowski has abs 2.5 hours later. Like, yeah. Oh my God, like I'm part of the problem. But it's wild that we're so fascinated with that.
I think that there's just something innately in us that we have been trained to like compare ourselves to people, you know, especially women, to compare ourselves and our bodies mostly. And it's like this innate thing that we don't even sometimes realize that we're doing. So now when I do it, I try to be conscious of doing it and tell myself inside my brain not to. Like I saw this influencer that just had a baby, maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month ago, she posted a picture like nothing. Like she was this. And I thought to myself, oh my God, wow. Like, and I was like, that's amazing. And then I'm like, why is that amazing?
Why is that amazing? Like,
is that amazing? This is probably just her body. Like, why should I even have any opinion about it? And so I'm just trying, like, we can't really change how
our brains are wired,
think about us or like the conversations people are going to have about us. But no, I do think that we can change how our brains are wired. Like, I think that if we are actually conscious of how we're talking to ourselves and talking about other people, that we can rewire our brains.
I feel that hope, because I have a daughter, I am extra aware of how I talk about my body, other people's bodies, like, and not doing it in front of her. And I always feel so comforted that so many more body types are celebrated nowadays.
Yeah.
Because when you think about like when we grew up, it was like, and listen, I love Rachel Zoe, but like it was the era of like, everyone said like the Rachel Zoe styling era, and everyone was so skinny. It was Victoria's Secret models. If, you know, mm-hmm. watching the fashion show, mm-hmm. if I like didn't look like that, I just felt so depressed that I wasn't this super skinny model. It was mm-hmm. this just like a certain time period.
I know. And they were glamorizing the process of getting there, you know,
yes.
it was like get ready with the Victoria's Secret model,
yes.
the process of like getting ready for the runway, or Britney Spears, like True Diary, get ready with her to shoot the video. And it's just like all these, the supermodels of the 90s, like all these unrealistic visions of what a woman should look like. And yes, you're right. Like, thank God now women are more diversely represented. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine being a girl. I mean, like it's more complicated and not as complicated at the same time.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel the
social media of it all makes it more complicated.
Yes.
But with the acceptance of differences, less. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword.
Y'all, the absolute chokehold
that these nuts.com bourbon pecans have on me. It's insane. I am so obsessed that it's to the point where my mother-in-law sent me a gift package of the bourbon pecans from nuts.com because she saw that I was obsessed with them. And so she's like, Bo, what should I get Stassi? And he's like, she really likes these bourbon pecans. That's me. That's where I'm at right now. Okay. Let's talk about nuts.com because, all right, so I'm postpartum and I'm, you know, trying to be as healthy as possible, but I still love flavor. Okay. And when I go to the grocery store and I go around looking for nuts because, you know, protein, okay, you want, like, nuts are a great thing to snack on. They don't have that many flavored options. They're not that great. But when you go to nuts.com, there are a million, okay? And they don't only have nuts, okay? There's so much more on their website. I mean, they have different candies. They have chocolates. They have things for baking, like different flours, like not flours as in like a flour, like flour to bake, like that sort of thing. Snacks, so many things. But my favorite is part of nuts.com is the nuts. It is the bourbon pecan. If you have not tried it, you need to go and get it right now. And also, like, the things that you order, like if you were to get their popcorn, they literally pop it that day and then send it to your house. Okay. Everything is so fresh. They have dried fruits, sweets, pantry staples. I mean, when you go to the grocery store, you just like can't find that much stuff. At nuts.com, you can. And right now, nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/Stassi. So go check out all of the delicious options at nuts.com/Stassi. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's nuts.com/Stassi. I have been updating my wardrobe since I had to cut my closet pretty much in half because I have a baby that needed a nursery. I have just decided, okay, well, I only want high quality pieces. I only want, you know, luxurious pieces, but that's really expensive. But it doesn't need to always be expensive. So I discovered Quince, I feel like, what, a year ago, maybe half a year ago. And I realized that Quince has high quality, luxury, you know, essential pieces for your wardrobe for a fraction of the price. And the way that they can do this is that Quince partners directly with like the top factories. Okay. So they cut the cost of the middleman and therefore passes the savings on to us, if that makes sense. Okay. And when I'm talking about high quality pieces, cashmere sweaters, cashmere sweater sets, silk tops, silk dresses. Lo was just telling me about how she got this Italian wool double-breasted coat because she's going to Scotland. Good for her. Woo. I also went and got this ring that I wear every single day. It is a gold croissant diamond pave ring. Literally, it's one of my favorite rings I've ever owned. I wear it on my middle finger every single day. Got that from Quince for a fraction of the price. If you want nice things, but you're like, why is it so expensive everywhere else? Head to Quince, okay? Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/Stassi for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Stassi to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Stassi. And you've been so open and honest and you've discussed like your body image and your weight and all of that so much that I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if, because now people talk about it, yeah. Like I see that you're like, you'll post something and being like, okay, everyone like get off my back or just something yeah. along those lines, addressing like people talking about your body. And I'm like, I wonder if she's happy that she said something and has been mm-hmm. talking about mm-hmm. it or if you regret it and you wish like you didn't feed into it.
I wish I didn't feed into it, honestly, because I think it became more of a conversation and a bigger story than it actually was an issue in right. my life. And I think that then Timmy and I started to talk about it on the podcast and certain things that he said were taken out of context, you know, when they can just like take quotes and
yeah.
run them without any context, you know. So I feel like it did more. It's hard because I want to say it did more harm than good, but I also think that it forced me to take a look at what was really going on. Like, I was a little bit in denial about what was happening with my body. I think like I had hit a rock bottom just like emotionally and physically with a lot of fertility stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I was losing so much weight. And finally, it was like, it was a post. I posted something and there were so many comments, and I was telling Timmy, I wasn't reading the comments, but I saw that there were a lot. And I was like, wow, look, this post is like getting so much engagement. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that's because everybody's talking about how skinny you are. He goes, maybe you should say something about it. And I was like, at first I was like, no, I don't really want to. Like, that's no one's business. I'm fine. I don't have an issue. I'm just a thin girl. Like, maybe I don't prioritize food that much.
You also don't eat pasta. I'll never forget when you said that to me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who doesn't eat pasta?
I know.
No, like why? Like the taste.
It's a texture thing for me. It's so weird. I never have my whole life. It's like, I love bread.
What a gift.
I love carbs. I'm like, it's just a texture thing. I can't handle.
What a gift.
I know.
What a gift.
Last night, Timmy made me meat sauce. I had it with rice.
Oh my God.
So
anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So basically I was like, no, I don't want to get into it. And then after a couple of days, I said, you know, maybe I'll say something. Like, I really don't like everybody having this conversation without me. Mm-hmm. And I think then when I said something, as soon as you like say that you're aware of something that's mm-hmm. going on, it just gives people the freedom to then say whatever they want to say.
I know.
And that was like really the first time that I had ever dealt with that before in that way. Like, even when I put out I Love My Baby Butt, the YouTube series I did where I'm like talking so much shit about being pregnant, people still weren't, they were so supportive. Like, oh my God, I feel the same way, blah, blah. But when it came to the eating stuff and the skinny stuff, it was so insensitive. It was so like, you know, eat a burger, you anorexic bitch, or like, you know, just like create like what? Things.
Seriously?
Yeah. And then, so I wish I looking back on it, yes, it wasn't the greatest conversations to be had. And then I felt like I had to continually give updates. And then I stopped. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I just need to take care of myself. And I realized that I was talking to other influencers who were like, the more you talk about it, the more the conversation is just going to be out there. So just focus, stay in your lane, focus on bettering you, and don't bring it up. But it's hard because you want to be vulnerable.
Yes.
You want to be honest. You want to be honest. You want to share what's really going mm-hmm. on. And that's what they want from you. They're like, please give us more. And then you give them more like what you're actually going through. And it's like, but I think that again, and I always have to justify what I have previously said, but like, there are more supportive people out there than there are like, mean.
I'm actually surprised that you have any trolls at all. Like, what could they possibly like say? You're not very. You're not a polarizing person.
I mean, the weight stuff, and then recently, like the Israel stuff has been. Like the two toughest things. But other than that, like, I haven't had to deal too terribly with stuff.
So troll life is new for you.
Very new for me.
How are you doing with it?
I'm over it now. I'm like, I feel like it took me a good year to get over it. It wasn't good at first, and I almost didn't want to do anything anymore. Like, even mm-hmm. YouTube stuff, I was like, oh my God, Timmy, should we quit YouTube? Like, I can't deal with this, you know? Yeah. And then I just think it just takes time, just like anything else. And the weight that you put on those people's voices starts to diminish, and your passion for what you're doing and the people who support you, like, their voices become bigger, and it just ends up clearing up. But it's definitely like,
it's crazy.
I can't even imagine what you had to deal with.
It's a wild way to live. Like, because I remember the first time like that I received troll like behavior on Twitter, and it was after season one of Vanderpump mm-hmm. Rules. It was like mm-hmm. right in the beginning.
I'm sure.
And I had skinny dipped, and I saw that people were like taking photos and screenshots of it. And this was before my breast reduction and my breast lift. So I had like the saggiest boobs. Like, they looked like an like a 95-year-old woman's boobs. And people were screenshotting it and circulating it and being like, this girl has the ugliest body. She looks like an old woman. Look at her boobs. And I'm like, oh my God. And that just toughened me up so fast.
I bet.
Because I was just like, this is, I don't know what gets worse.
It could get.
Yes. So like, I'm like, I don't see it getting much worse, you know, than
honestly,
that.
Honestly, I could never have done what you did. Like reality TV for me was so different, for social media reasons and for just like the fighting with your friends on TV reasons. Like The Hills, I wasn't like a character that they were looking for to start drama. You know, I was in the closet with Lauren, like doing my thing. And when we started to film The Hills New Beginnings and Spencer and Heidi came for me this one night, I just started hysterically crying. Like, what is going on? Like, wait. I can't.
What did they come for you? I watched it.
They never aired it. They never aired this part. Because I had said I was like scared of Spencer on one of my podcasts. And then they said that I like wasn't this person that I made myself out to be, blah, blah, blah. But I just crumbled. And I then after that was like, I'm not doing the show again. I'm not doing reality TV ever again. Like I just how you guys, I mean, you are not doing it anymore, but continually put yourself out there to be like berated like that is just so.
Well, I also think that there's like different types of reality TV. Like, you know, I don't think I could do it now either. No. Like that, I couldn't just fight with my friends, try and call people out. Like, it's like the whole calling people out, like digging in their closets to like cause drama that like that I can't do that anymore. Like I did that in my 20s and I've been out of it for so long and I'm just like too soft now. Like I'm too soft. I couldn't. No, absolutely not. But no, I think there are different types of reality TV shows out there though. I don't feel like it's all like that.
No, it's definitely not all like that at all. But yours is one of the like most successful and best. And I just give so much credit to everyone. And even when I was in the room with all the women and for the panel, like I think that sometimes women in reality TV just get a bad rap and it takes so much to put yourself out there like that, you know?
Yeah, I know. I fully agree
you fully
with that.
Get it.
No.
Yeah.
Like I know.
Tits and all. Saggy tits everywhere. You were like, this is me, everybody.
Yes. And what makes good reality TV is showing like the ugly parts of your personality because people can relate to it and people can be like, this person isn't perfect. No one wants to watch TV where people are just perfect all the time. Like you want to see people's flaws, but then when you show people your flaws, they attack you for it and never forget it. It's
the hard
weird.
Part. I know is that you do want to. Everybody does have flaws, and you do want to see those flaws. For me, I think I was so scared of people seeing those flaws. Like, I was very scared too when we would have talks with producers before the scenes. Like, always so scared of them trying to put words in my mouth or manipulating me into saying something. Like I was so concerned with the edit all the time. And I think looking back, that's one regret that I had. I would have probably been a little bit more me, a little bit less like, especially when filming The City, when I had my feet wet a little bit and felt a little bit more comfortable, like a little bit more, you know, spicy. Well,
I will say a piece of advice that I give people who are starting on a reality show or they're trying to get a reality show or something like that when they ask me is to not think about the edit. I actually think that's the only reason I like made good reality TV because I didn't think about what it was going to look like and what people were going to think. I then thought about it as it was airing and I'm like, I wish I would have thought about it. But then sure enough, like when we start filming again, I just like, in order for me to just survive and do my job, I had to not think about it.
I think that's the smartest thing you can do because you can't control the edit. So yeah. What's thinking about it going to do? It's just going to make you act weird, talk yes. weird, feel weird, be awkward, like know that the camera's around. Yes, I agree with you. And I think that you make mistakes, like you made mistakes, but you people watched you work through those mistakes. And it's how you then like navigate through them that then defines your character, not like the actual mistakes you made.
Totally. It, yeah. And that takes time. It's like not an overnight thing. Yeah, reality TV is wild. What's the thing about
it? Would you ever do it again? Like, if I'm sure you've gotten asked to do like family docudrama type thing.
If the right thing happens, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so many different things would have to align at the same time to for that to happen. I have no interest in doing something that I would have to like change my life for, or like be around people that I'm not around. Already, I'm not normally. That's like, I agree.
Like they, when they tried to bring back The Hills New Beginnings, I was like, why are you guys doing this? No one really hangs out anymore. Like, shows are only good. Like, one of the reasons why I always thought Vanderpump Rules was so good was because everybody was actually friends and hanging yes. out. Like, yeah. the relationships were real. And I think with The Hills, it got to a point where no one really wanted to hang out anymore. Everyone had just, like, fought their way out of all of their friendships. And then we all came back and they were like, let's go film it. LAX or area or whatever it was, like, let's all, and we're 35 years old, yeah. not speaking. Some of us have new babies at home and they're like, well, we're trying to revive The Hills. I'm like, but this is not what our life is like anymore. The show would be so much better if you actually showed the real going on. Like, not yes. us fighting at clubs with Misha Barton. Like, that was so random.
Wait,
you know,
Whitney, I totally forgot that they brought Misha Barton into that. This.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know. It was so random. I was like, what's happening? Like, wait, why are we... This nightclub is not even in business anymore. Like, you guys just put this in. Like, you made this happen. They just want... You know, it's a lot of... I don't know where we were going with this, but... yeah, doesn't matter.
Wait, what was your... Oh, this is a random question, but just because you're talking about clubs. Yeah. What was your favorite club to go to? In the 2000s, you know, the late 2000s, once at The Hills and all that was going on, what was your go-to club?
I mean, I loved Hyde, you know, like going.
No photos were there. So that made me annoyed.
Oh, I'm like, I feel like I didn't even have like a camera phone at that point.
Oh, no, I brought my camera. I was one of those. And then I would put up like
now
a Facebook album. Yeah, it is. But I'd put up like a Facebook album the next day. So I'm like, Hyde, I can't bring my camera. Fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit. I just remember like Hyde. I remember like Winston's being a more cool, like it was less clubby, more bar vibes. I just felt like if I was trying to meet normal people, that was where I would go, not like Hollywood people. And then Teddy's at the Roosevelt.
Teddy's was a great one. That was a great one. That always made me feel so much cooler than I was. Oh, so much cooler than
as
I was.
As soon as you walked in there, just like, I'm here.
I remember seeing you guys film multiple times at Ledoux and Goa. I would be there. Ledoux. I was one of those really embarrassing girls that literally hung around y'all's cameras in your area being like, I wonder if they're going to notice me and bring me on The Hills.
I'm sure. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember Ledoux, obviously. I don't remember, what was it, Goya?
Goa.
I don't remember Goa.
On Cahuenga, I'm pretty sure it was on Cahuenga. Maybe not Cahuenga, but like around there. Yeah, oh Goa. I feel like that was Thursdays.
Oh my God. Wait. It's like, is that club culture even a thing anymore?
No, and this is why I think it isn't. Because we have so much. The only reason that the club culture was what it was because that was where celebrities went. Like the top celebrities, the people yeah. that we followed. Then we'd go to like Just Jared or Perez Hilton the next day and like see all the photos. Now we can see what the celebrities are doing and what they're wearing on social media. And also the celebrities don't want everyone whipping out their phone and recording them. So they're not going to clubs. So it's right. like club culture just like fell apart.
It fell apart. Club culture totally fell apart. I was like, do people want to go party? It's like, yeah, they do. It's just a different, it's not the culture in LA anymore. What about in New York? I feel like club culture is a thing in New York.
I have no idea. When is the last time you've been to a club?
I feel like, oh my God, I don't know. Honestly, I think they did an after party for The Hills premiere at Ledoux.
Wait, no, I went to that.
Like,
that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Okay, that doesn't count. I honestly can't remember.
Okay, I'll tell you something. A year after I had Hartford, for my friend Katie's birthday, we went to a club. I'm like, oh, this will be like, and this will be like being in planet Earth, you know, except like we're not looking at animals. We're looking at like what the kids are doing in clubs nowadays. And I was shook. Everyone is so young. So young.
So young.
I mean, back then, this was granted like 2022. So this was still like 2 years ago now, going on 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, I went to a club and people were in a lot of athleisure. And no one danced. Yeah, it was just like, it was wild. And everyone was just basically a fetus. No one really like got dolled up.
Well, we were, remember how dolled up we got?
Like, oh, yeah.
On full going out outfits.
Like cocktail dresses. Like I had a full closet just full of cocktail dresses. Like what?
No, like sparkly dresses like we were going to Vegas.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Or going out tops and like denim or something. Yes.
You know what? I miss that. I miss having to wear cocktail dresses every night. That's a trend I wish would come back.
Is like there you'd go to sushi or like Mexico, like didn't matter Katsuya. Where you were going to dinner. Exactly. You were like, you'd go to pregame wherever at like Baja Fresh even and still be in, you'd wear your cocktail, like your whole look for the whole night. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Too funny.
You got dressed up.
At least we got dressed though. You got dressed up. Yeah.
I miss so much getting dressed up. Like it kills me now that to get like, to have like a night out, it's fully acceptable to wear my daytime clothes.
I know. You don't like, have to get dressed up in LA to go out. I know that's why I love when I go to New York, like I love dressing up. I feel like I love fashion more when I'm in New York because it feels like you're dressing for something. In LA, I have no motivation to get dressed. Like I have to be, if I'm working from home, I will stay in my sweatshirt and sweats all day. Like if I'm not leaving the house, I won't get dressed.
Oh, see, no, like that's something in terms of like my mental health and taking care of myself, like being okay. I have to, which is like it's a weird kind of outfit because I don't put on something that like I would go leave the house in, you know, because I'm not going to sit in my house in jeans. That's uncomfortable. But I don't want to be in my sweatshirt and my sweatpants all day long that like I slept in. So it's like finding this like middle home clothes category.
So are you wearing like a button down with leggings right now?
I'm wearing a button down that's big enough to hide my shorts. So it looks like a button down dress.
Okay.
Like oversized kind of situation.
You look put together.
Thank you. I'm trying, you know, because otherwise I will just I'll spiral into like a depression if I stay in my pajamas.
I think that I need to do that. Maybe that will help in my organization. Maybe it's like me not getting myself ready is like not signaling to my brain that like you have shit to do.
Yes, maybe.
I don't know.
There could be something to that.
I know. So do you wake up? Do you shower then once you get the kids ready and like is Hartford in school or like what's your process? I'm like interviewing you. You need to come on my podcast so I can ask you
I would
you all
love
these questions.
To. Well, I can answer this quickly. I wake up early, like 6:30 with the baby, and then Bo and Hartford don't wake up till 7:30. So like I have an hour with the baby to take care of the baby. They get up, he takes Hartford to school. So like I get Hartford ready, put her in her outfit, they go to school, then I put the baby down for a nap, and then while that's happening I shower, get dressed, do my makeup, and then all of a sudden I'm like, it's still only 8:30, the fuck, my day should be done.
I know. And then by 4 o'clock you're like, is it midnight yet? No, what's happening?
Like, talk about, do you remember that the stretch? I mean, because your son's older now, but the stretch between like 3 to 7 is the fucking
worst.
As a mom,
worst. I know, it's just like every minute feels like it's lasting a year and you're trying to fill the time, but there's like nothing really to do. You can't go out or start anything or do anything. So yeah. You just are stuck at home. I know. Sonny's out. Now we can deal like he's sick so he can busy himself at home. And he's also not home from school till like 4, but... Yeah, I definitely know that phase.
And I'm entering it again. It's like as I've seen Hartford gets home from school and then I have this baby and I'm like, how the fuck do I entertain both of you guys until bedtime? What?
I know.
It's wild. I know.
Should get her into some after school things. Not like maybe like once or twice a week. I'm not like an over scheduler, but it just like breaks up the week a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. I need to find something. Whitney, this was like not enough. Like, it's already been an hour. This was not enough time.
Oh my God.
Like, I didn't even have to look at my outline. Like, talking to you was just so much fun. And like, I want to do this a million more times.
I know, thank you. And we can actually, like, let's go get a drink or something. And we can chit chat.
Yes.
And talk shit. And then
I'll dress up.
And then
up.
You'll come on my podcast. Yes. We'll get dressed up and we'll post about it.
Okay. I love that. Best idea that you've got. Oh my God.
Good. Thank you so much for doing this. And yeah, we'll coordinate. I would love you to come on mine.
Perfect. Yeah. Everyone go listen to Whitney's podcast with Wit and go follow her at Whitney Eve Port. You're the fucking best fashion girly.
Thank you. Thank you, Sassy.
Bye, guys.
Have a good day.
You too.